WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The great violinist Isaac Stern died of heart failure Saturday at the age of 81. He had toured around the world performing chamber music as well as performing with orchestras. He performed more than 200 times in Carnegie Hall and helped save the hall from destruction when there were plans to build office towers in its place. The main hall was named after him in 1997. We're going to hear excerpts of two interviews with Isaac Stern. Our first was recorded in 1988. He told me he was born in Russia and moved to San Francisco with his family when he was 10 months old.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, how many Jewish families, how many Jewish parents have said to their children, when you grow up, you should be an Isaac Stern or a Yasha Heifetz or a Yehudi Menuhin. What is it between Jewish musicians and violins? There's been so many. There's this history of Jewish violinists.
It seems to be a history of Jewish violinists. It's a recent one. It only occurred really in great numbers from the late 19th and the early part of the 20th century. There are now a whole other group of young people coming in as well. As you know, there are many, many gifted people from all over because music has become a kind of passport into authenticity of self for nations, for people, and for individuals. It was an obvious outlet as Jews began to get out of the ghetto and out of the shtetl life in Europe, and as they had been barred from so many normal areas of education, training, and in other endeavors, it turned out that playing an instrument, which was a part, not necessarily the major part of their cultural life, but there was music in their ceremonies, in their happy moments, in the sad moments, and in the official moments. That an instrument which they had a natural affinity for, as have many people, Hungarians, Germans, French, English, many. But for Jews, it was literally a passport.
You know, just last night I was watching the documentary about your trip to China from Mao to Mozart. It's on video now. And there's a very nice moment in which you're telling one of the very young students, you're suggesting to her that she sing the passage that she just played, because she played it very stiffly, or comparatively stiffly. And then she sang it, and she sang it beautifully, and you said you really have to sing the music that you're playing so that you get that kind of naturalness in your sound. Was that advice that one of your teachers gave you?
No, I think it's something that one learns instinctively about music as you go along. It's a little bit like what people have asked me many times about a man who influenced me very much in my life when I was 30, in 1950, Pablo Casals, who was an extraordinary musician, an extraordinary human being, a unique human being in a way. And how to explain what Casals was, and this has been a part of my ethic, I think, since I began to think about music. Casals would take you to a wall and open a door and show you the most incredible garden filled with the most exotic, most colorful plants in full bloom with every color imaginable and every cross-pollinization imaginable and full of scent and beauty. And he would show you this garden. Now, how far you walked into that garden was your responsibility. Now, all I can do then for young people is to show them what is possible and make them realize that there is such a thing as beauty, that there are things which exist, and to try to show them how to reach those goals in the simplest form.
Do you take the advice that you gave that student in From Mao to Mozart, and do you sing passages before you play them?
I think I do that instinctively all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
What does it get you to say?
Colors, ideas. There's a lot. There are a lot of ways to say, you know, I love you. 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 I'm saying the same words. How many times I've said them? The same thing goes with music. Music is literally made up of notes which are simply like a road map. It shows you where you begin, it shows you where you have to go in between, and shows you where you're going to finish. And that's why music is a constant discovery. There are basic rules. You cannot do that which is not written. You cannot invent or tell the composer what he should have done. It is your obligation to learn what he has done, why he has done it, and then to fill it in with the greatest amount of knowledge and essentially a kind of metaphysical compassion for the wonderment that you can never find the final answer. That's what makes us musicians. There is no finite performance. It is that which makes music what the great English writer, Anand, said. Very great quotes from him. He said, you can describe music, but you can never explain it. And if you can feel touched by that unexplainability yourself and give that sense of, I hesitate to use the word divine guidance, but of a sense of humility and divinity at the same time, then you are just beginning to become a musician.
Isaac Stern recorded in 1988. We'll hear an interview recorded with him during the Gulf War after a break. This is Fresh Air. Violinist Isaac Stern died Saturday at the age of 81. His second Fresh Air interview was recorded in 1991 during the Gulf War. He had just performed in Jerusalem with the Israeli Philharmonic. The concert was interrupted by the warning of a possible Iraqi Scud missile attack. After Stern left Israel, we phoned him in Montreal to find out what happened.
And we were in the middle of the second movement of the Mozart concerto, and Zubin Mehta, who was conducting, turned and stopped me in the middle of a phrase and said, I think there's a problem. And I turned around, sure enough, the man was walking on stage to make the public address announcement that an alert had just been sounded, and will everybody please put on their gas masks and stay quiet. The auditorium was sealed against a possible gas infiltration. But the orchestra had their gas masks, as did everyone. I had one that was just off stage. And everybody left the stage, and the audience put their gas masks on, and the loudspeakers were going in Hebrew with the explanation and warnings, keep your gas masks on, don't move until the all clear is sounded, and it was in Hebrew, and then in Russian, and then in English, and some Arabic, and then back again, and I could hear the people putting their gas masks on, and then there was that feeling of restiveness and tension. We didn't have our masks on because we knew there would be about 4 minutes and 50 seconds to 5 minutes until the missile actually hit. That was about the time from early warning until the missile landed, and then they would go in and examine it and see whether it was a conventional or a gas warhead. So we were waiting, and apparently, while they were waiting, I could hear the audience getting more and more restive, and I thought, this is silly. They're all sitting there, looking at each other in their gas masks, the majority of them, about 80% of them had their masks with them, 20% didn't. And I thought this was nonsense, and that something should be quieting down. So I went on stage, gestured them to be quiet, and I played some Bach, Sarabande from the D minor Partita for Vinyl Alone. And I played it, and everybody quieted down, and they listened. I must say it was one of the more bizarre moments of my life to look out at an audience and see all these gas masks in front of me. And to hear them sitting quietly in the masks and listening to Bach, which I chose deliberately because it's quiet and contemplative and has seen its share of revolutions and wars and tragedies and happinesses and joys, and the kind of reaffirmation of faith in life. And I must say that I was very moved by it's hard to find words, but I've rarely been in a situation that you had the epitome of what it means to be an artist performer, which was to feel useful and needed.
Isaac Stern recorded in 1991 during the Gulf War. He died Saturday at the age of 81. I'm Terry Gross.